News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, Russia and Ukraine have both accused each other of launching air attacks that sparked fires and damaged infrastructure. This is just hours after their leaders agreed to a very limited ceasefire that would halt attacks on energy infrastructure. For more on this, we're joined by Misha Glenny, author and broadcaster and rector for the Institute for Human Sciences in Vienna. Misha, can I start by asking you, first for your reaction to the overnight strikes by both Ukraine and Russia, but also more specifically to yesterday's developments?
Well, I think the overnight strikes demonstrate that not much happened in the call between Presidents Trump and Putin. It was really all round quite an eye-opening event. Firstly, because President Putin amazingly appeared to snub President Trump by not getting on the call at the right time, but very publicly dismissing the fact that he was due to speak to President Trump and then keeping the US president waiting. So that is a demonstration of just how powerful Putin feels as though he's in this situation. And then when it came to discussions about a ceasefire, well, the outcome was something of a damp squib, i.e. a vague commitment not to attack energy infrastructure by Putin, although he's still attacking. They launched a large attack on Ukrainian cities yesterday. There was a Ukrainian counterstrike against an oil facility in southern Russia. So there appears to be really very little that's come out of this discussion. There was a lot of expectation beforehand. But I think President Trump is finding it more difficult to deal with President Putin when the latter feels as though he has he's holding all the Trump cards at the moment, if you'll excuse the pun.
And is it too simplistic to say that Putin is really playing Trump at the moment?
I think he is, although it is, as you suggest in your question, more complex than that. But the fact of the matter is Putin is insisting on a cessation of all Western military and intelligence support to the Ukrainian armed forces if he is to agree to a ceasefire. Now, what that means is not just support from the United States, which President Trump did indeed a couple of weeks back stop temporarily before reestablishing it. But it means he would have to persuade the European Union and other NATO members from supporting Ukraine. And there's absolutely no indication that that's going to happen. In fact, in Europe, the mood is rather the opposite. They want to up the support for Ukraine. So President Trump is discovering that beyond the gesture politics and the sort of, you know, the big announcements that he likes to make, the devil is always going to be in the details. And legendarily, President Trump is not a details man. And Putin, as you said in your remark about him playing Trump, realizes that. And he has a very experienced diplomatic team that he's working with, whereas Trump's people on the whole are newcomers who really don't have the corresponding gravitas that Putin's team does.
No, certainly not. Do you hold out any hope for these planned negotiations, further negotiations? I'm not even sure, do they even involve Ukraine? Do you hold out any hopes for them?
No, at the moment they're not involving Ukraine and they're not involving the Europeans, which are two very big lacunae, missing parts in all of this. There will be continued discussions in Riyadh, the Saudi capital, starting probably next week. But it's very difficult to know how you can square the circle of Russian and Ukrainian demands at the present moment. And what Putin wants to do is to exploit this opportunity to consolidate the battlefield gains that he is making, and they are significant, so that he will eventually be able to negotiate from a position of uncontested strength, and Ukraine and Zelensky will be in a relatively weak position. So this is going to be a long process, in my opinion, and at the moment, there's no real light on the at the end of the tunnel.
A long process that chips away at Ukraine bit by bit, do you fear?
Definitely, Ukraine is weakening because it has such a problem with manpower, and without American support, it's sort of fighting with one hand tied behind its back because it can't really see the battlefield in real time in the way it has done up until now. But at the same time, the Trump presidency has started to shift in a tectonic fashion. The way that geopolitics are structured in the world. So there are many, many moving parts in this, including the Europeans who shouldn't be underestimated. But it's because yesterday there was an extremely important move in Germany where the Germans voted to lift the brake that they have on borrowing large sums of money in order to plow up to 100 billion euros into defense. So, you know, this is part of a much bigger shift that is going on in the world, and it's impossible to predict precisely where it's heading re-Ukraine. There's all the stuff going on in the Middle East as well now, in addition to that. But at the moment, I think Putin is sitting in the Kremlin and feeling quite happy with the way things are developing.
Misha Glenny, author, broadcast director for the Institute for Human Sciences in Vienna. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
This morning.